tonight.
Barking about the wrong trees. When Israeli soldiers cut down trees along the border with Lebanon, tensions flare and 5 people are killed.
Biology, chemistry, and sophistry. The residents of Shannon, Quebec are looking for a big settlement, but now the provincial government has discounted the study that linked cancer rates to a local toxin.
A government bailout. Newfoundland and Labrador announced the closure of the province's only school for the deaf.
Miller's glossing. How the late Mitch Miller turned his disdain for rock and roll into highly polished sing-alongs and became a musical phenomenon.
Not so much the next big thing as a big nest thing. A British pest expert turns his hive mind on the biggest colony of wasps he and his country have ever seen.
And when a great granddaddy is a not so great, not so grand mummy. Japan once boasted the world's oldest living people, but it turns out they may really be among the world's newest dead people. As it happens, the Tuesday edition. If this radio were a book, it would be called Tuesdays with Moribund. Exceptionally quiet and uniquely dangerous. That's how the International Crisis Group described the situation along the border between Israel and Lebanon in a report that was released yesterday. Little did they know that hours later, both sides would shatter the calm that has prevailed since the war in 2006. Today, an Israeli soldier, at least 2 Lebanese soldiers, and a Lebanese journalist are dead after tensions flared on the border between the two countries. Sahar Atrash is an analyst with the International Crisis Group. Her report is called Drums of War, Israel and the Axis of Resistance. We reached Ms. Atrash earlier today in Tripoli, Lebanon.
Ms. Atrash, what can you tell us about the firefight that happened today?
Today, in fact, what happened is, according to the Lebanese version, is that Israeli soldiers crossed a technical fence that is in the Lebanese territories and then violated the sovereignty of Lebanon. And then there has been clashes between the two armies where there has been casualties. On the Lebanese side, 2 soldiers and 1 journalist were dead.
What is the Israeli version of events?
The difference is who started the clashes first. According to Israelis, it's the Lebanese army who started the clashes and that they have informed the UNIFIL about their presence in this area, whereas the Lebanese army claims that it refused the presence of Israeli soldier in the Lebanese territories.
Now, at the heart of this apparently was a removal of a tree by the Israelis. The fact that we're talking about a tree, how much is this a sign of the broader tension that exists on both sides of the border?
Exactly. In fact, it's a lot deeper than a question of a tree. It really shows how the situation is precarious. And since 2006, what's worrying is that the two parties has been a kind of preparing for a war, if a war that we don't know when it could happen. And there was a military buildup in the two fronts that in a way used as a deterrent, but at the same time could trigger any conflict.
But how surprising is it for you to see that it was the Lebanese army that was drawn into this firefight and not Hezbollah?
This is something quite new. In fact, even though sometimes we have some incidents between the Israeli army and the Lebanese army, especially when we have Israeli aircraft in the Lebanese airs, sometimes the Lebanese army would hit with the anti-aircraft. It would be purely symbolic, but this time it was real incidents, and the incidents happened between the Lebanese army and the Israeli army, and this is something new. I think the incidents escalated without any of the two parties wanting it to escalate in that way. So it went out of control in a way, and this is what's worrying about the situation.
But why do you think things along the border have been so quiet since the war in 2006 up until now?
We can say that it's quiet, but at the same time very dangerous, and this is also very worrying. It's quiet because the two parties are really worried about a new conflict, and they know that a new conflict would be devastating, would be much more violent and even broader. It can spread to the whole region. So the two, mainly for Israel and also for Hezbollah, it knows that an Israeli attack could be very devastating to Lebanon.
You've described this as an underground war. What exactly are you talking about?
In fact, it's not an open warfare. It's mainly about spying networks, targeted assassinations that we've witnessed lately and were very intense. On the Lebanese side, for example, there's at least, I don't have numbers, but tens of spies for the account of Israel that has been discovered lately. So it's we're not talking about a conflict with, weapons and guns, but this is the underground conflict.
And because it's known on both sides, it increases the tension on both sides.
Exactly.
Israel has accused Lebanon of doing very little to stop Hezbollah from arming itself and increasing its power in the south. How strong is Hezbollah in the south now?
In fact, definitely the presence of UNIFIL and the Lebanese army has prevented Hezbollah's presence in some areas in the south. But Hezbollah is part also of the whole, Lebanese system and Lebanese population. And definitely it is present in the south, but also in very different regions. And regarding the armament of Hezbollah, I think, and the party members claim it, that they've been also preparing for a war, so they've been arming themselves.
You mentioned UNIFIL, which is the United Nations force that is trying to keep the peace there. And you also speak about Hezbollah's efforts to arm itself in anticipation of a war, and yet your report says that Hezbollah probably wouldn't want a major confrontation with Israel. So what explains that paradox?
Definitely for Hezbollah, what's preventing the war is that it knows that it could be very devastating for the whole country and that it could be also very costly for it. Hezbollah now benefits from a very good political position on the Lebanese scene, so a war could be also threatening to its political status.
Today, the United Nations force in Lebanon is calling for calm. Tonight, you're sitting in Tripoli, which saw some of the worst fighting in 2006. How likely do you think it is that there will be calm and it will last?
Both parties show constraints after the incident, And both parties made it clear that they don't want this incident to lead to a dangerous escalation. Most probably it will be contained right now, but the problem is that it's a problem that is lasting forever, and even if it will be contained this time, there's no warranty that the next time it wouldn't lead to another escalation.
Ms. Atrash, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Sahara Trash is an analyst with the International Crisis Group. She was in Tripoli, Lebanon.